For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Drive and Left Field podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at MLB Nerds. I'm here with my co-host Ryan. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM. You can find I'm here with my other co-host James. You can find him on Twitter at James Valentinas. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Deep Drive Pod. And in today's episode, we're doing second baseman. I don't think it's too controversial of a list in general. I think it's pretty straightforward. There are a couple interchangeable spots, but I think I would say the top 13 guys are all pretty much the kind of what you want. I think that was the list I got the least amount of shit on when I posted them.
That's because you didn't put a prospect in your top 10.
That's a good point. I didn't.
For second base?
Yeah, I didn't. There is really no second base prospect where it's like,
yeah, they're all shortstop.
Honestly, I'll say this though. I think if Taylor Walls gets enough playing, I know he's not a second baseman, but if he gets enough playing time, he'll be very good. He's such a good defender. And he's pretty good. Yeah, I like Taylor Walls.
I do too. Honorable mentions. We'll do two honorable mentions as always. I assume you guys have honorable mentions, right?
Yeah, yes, I just don't know who's actually a second baseman or not.
Okay. Honorable mention number one is going to be Gene Segura for me. Really decent. Didn't crack the top 10, but he's a decent player. Future White Sox. And number two for honorable mentions is Tony Kemp. Breakout season last year. Super cool guy. He's a decent fielder. He's a pretty good, solid player. Again, just misses out on the top 10 here.
I have Whit Merrifield as an honorable mention. Plays every day. Can kind of not really hit, but whatever.
It's also a team player.
You know,
team shows player, team leader. You know, just moves the baton.
And I got Jeff McNeil of the Mets.
My honorable mentions, I have Tony Kemp, and this is my 12th. And at 11, I had Nick Madrigal, and that was my other honorable mention. Whoa. I really like.
Whoa! You know,
what?
That's so high.
How is that high?
I have him at 20. I think he's really that good.
Like he's performance wise, he's been good, right? So if you don't like projections, he's hit very well. Defensively, it's weird because he grades a good defender. And I think he will be a good defender going forward. His defense has been weird across like DRS, UZR, and OAA because they've disagreed every single year on how good he has been. And then his offense, he's a 104 project WRC plus hitter. He was a 113 last year, 111 the year before. He's probably a better hitter than Gene Segura is. Probably. Like he's hit better than Gene Segura has over the last couple of years. I think it's a toss-up. If you have Gene Segura, you could have Nick Madrigal as low as like 18. I won't care.
I'm at 20. I think that's like kind of high. I was like trying to put him higher. Like I was making an effort.
Really?
To put him higher,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Madrigal, so I know it's a small sample size. Madrigal's out hit Segura.
I know.
And he projects like better than Segura.
Probably like, isn't it like 300 plate appearances?
Right. But he also projects to be better than Segura.
Does he?
Offensively. Yeah. Sure? 104 to 102.
That's the same thing.
Yeah. Like,
well,
also,
yes.
It's really marginal. And Segura is it. Here's the thing. When you get to that point where it's like very little difference and Segura realistically has played better for longer, and whether you think that's like that matters or not, like I think it matters. I didn't really consider it. I mean, it matters, but also like he's just, you know, Madrigal's performance is so volatile, right? Like I would not be surprised if he goes up there and puts up a 115 WRC plus because of his hit tool, but I could also see him getting in some bad luck and doesn't walk. So it's like, you know, I think that his style of play, you kind of have to, I kind of lean more conservatively on where I ranked him, just because he's very unique. Like, there's not many players like him at this point. But yeah, I don't really see a world where he could be in that top 11.
That's like way too high.
Well, for him. Welcome to the world in which Nick Madrigal is potential top 11 second baseman.
I definitely think he has the potential. I just wouldn't put him there yet.
Also, I would say this. So if you look at per 600 for projections, it's Simeon, Lowe, Altuve, Albies, Marte, Torres. I'm counting guys who I considered second baseman. So I'm skipping over like Toro, LeMahieu, Muncy, Arise. Then it's India, Cronenworth,
Polanco. Are you reading off your list? Wait, you're reading off your
list. No, this is not my list. This is not my list.
No, he's reading off Steamer projections.
Yes. Yeah. Listella, Lux. This wasn't my list.
Let's move on.
He's like around the 11th range. So, you know, yeah, I can justify this.
People will call me a Steamer merchant and then like you'll do this. Like, I don't get it.
Dude, I'll tweet and like people think it's a joke. No, I'm serious. I just look at Steamer WRC Plus and then decide for myself whether I like a player's defense or not. That's how I rank players. That's it. That's all I do.
Yeah,
that's
literally understand why
people. And people don't hate me. I don't get it.
People
should hate me.
I don't know why people just don't like me. And that's okay.
I'm like Tim Anderson, you know, like I should regress. Like people should hate me a lot more. I should not.
People like you're very likable. I would say I'm likable to a certain extent. People
kind of a dickhead.
I'm the most likable.
I'm like what you would call a lion. You know, like you know how lions are. You know, they're very tame until they're attacked. No, I'm just kidding, but yeah, no, I think I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But
anyways, let's get to top 10.
Let's move on here. Let's do our list here. I'll go ahead first. My top 10. Okay, number 10, I have Gleyber Torres. At number 9, I have Jeff McNeil. Number 8, I have Jonathan.
Oh, we're just going to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're just going. Number 7, I have Ozzie Albies. Number 6, Jake Cronenworth. Number 5, Jorge Polanco. Number 4, Jose Altuve. Number 3, Ketel Marte. Number 2, Brandon Lau. Number 1, Marcus Semien.
All right, I'll go next. At number 10, I have Gene Segura. At 9, I have Colton Wong. 8, I have Jorge Polanco. 7, I have Ozzie Albies. 6, Jonathan India. 5, Jake Cronenworth. 4, Ketel Marte. 3, Jose Altuve. 2, Brandon Lau. And 1, Marcus Semien.
My top 10, I have McNeil at 10, Torres at 9, Jorge Polanco at 8, Jonathan India at 7, Jake Cronenworth at 6, Ozzie Albies at 5, Ketel Marte at 4, Brandon Lau at 3, Jose Altuve at 2, and Marcus Semien at 1.
Okay.
Brandon Lau at 3.
I want to say real quick that Marcus Semien, I had a hard time putting him on. I did put him on because it can't really deny, like, he's really a good player. But I don't know how his swing's going to play in Texas. I think it'll be fine. Like, they gave him a big contract. You know, the Rangers front office knows more than me. Like, I think it was a good contract, too. He's a decent player, you know. But, and I would say he's maybe a bit overrated to an extent, but
he is.
I don't know. I think that he could be as low as 4. I think that top 4 is pretty interchangeable.
I strongly disagree with that.
Yeah,
I don't disagree
with that. The shit out of Semien. Like,
Marcus, okay, here's the thing. Marcus Semien hit his 90th percentile outcome this year. Like, this is like the absolute best it gets for him.
He's done it twice.
Okay,
hear me out.
I think Marcus, he's the best Semien player in baseball at second base this year. That's why I put him as the best second base.
I think he's the best one too, but I don't think it's by a big margin. And I think you're going to see this is what he did last year is a combination of just everything going right for him. And that's fine. Like, that's cool.
His 90th percentile outcome is a 131 WRC plus, then what's the 138 that he put up 2 years ago?
It's a similar, that's 7. Like,
that's not barely anything. Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, in terms of his
seven points is quite a bit when you're getting that high.
Okay, he had like an 8 WAR season this year. Like, that's what I'm referring to, right? Like,
are you talking about R WAR or F WAR?
Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, his total WAR production. Like, I don't think so. There's a couple things. So his BSR was very high. Base running doesn't really carry well with age. That stuff doesn't go well together.
Yeah, but he's always been a good base runner.
That again,
he's not getting
reliant on speed. Age is a thing.
He's 31.
I'm not saying he's talking about his age.
Like, he's 36 years old.
Speed particularly has a sharper decline. I don't think his base running is going to be as good as it was last year.
For the leader defense, in BSR this year was 33 years old.
Okay, that's Starling Marte. That's a stolen base thing. And again, that doesn't, just because it happened that year doesn't mean it's going to happen again. As for the offense, Jack mentioned it. He's in a very, it's not a favorable situation for him. If he had gone to the other team in Texas, I would be saying he's going to probably win AL MVP, because park factors matter a lot when we're talking about production for next year. And I think that Semien was put in a situation where he was just very fortunate to be playing in the very short left field, and that's why he was so good. Now, he's very good on his own, true talent-wise. No one's denying that, but I don't think it's going to be another 7-WAR season. And I think the gap between him and Brandon Lowe and Ketel Marte, and Ketel Marte is another interesting player, and Jose Altuve, it's marginal. It's not that huge, and I wouldn't be shocked if any of those guys outplayed him. That's just how it's a lot of players randomly just aren't as good as they were before, and that's because they were never good enough to consistently be that. And I think Semien is just one of those guys.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know. I had, like I said, I couldn't really put Semien lower than one, but I could also put him at four. Like, I felt like, you know, the top four is definitely the first tier, and there's no, like, clear one. And, yeah, I kind of agree with what you said. You know, and I trust that James is, you know, incredibly impartial here, and, you know, his love for Marcus Semien. But, yeah, I want to also talk about Ketel Marte. Obviously, Ketel Marte is somewhat of a meme on baseball Twitter, and, you know, the majority of our listeners
are
baseball.
That's a great guy right there.
Ketel Marte is a really good player, right? Obviously, he's not as good as you guys are saying. It's like real, let's be real, all right? He's a good player. I would probably put him at three. I don't really think Altuve is better than him. But like, I, again, very marginal difference, like almost nothing, but I don't really think, I don't know. I don't think we're going to see another performance like 2019 or even like 2021 over a larger sample size, of course. But obviously really good hitter. I like Lowe a bit better than him, a bit better than him. I got a lot of shit for that. I don't know. What do you guys think about Marte in general?
I think Marte. Okay. So I think that Marte is the most talented. Like, I think he has the highest ceiling of that group, because I think he has the potential to be the best hitter of the group. And he probably is the second best defender behind Semien in that group of four, because Altuve and Lowe don't really bring much defensively to the table, at least Altuve not anymore. I don't like Marte as much because of the injury issues. Like, the volatility with him is a lot greater than the other two, three guys I had ahead of him. That's why I put him at four. I wouldn't be shocked if he was the best second baseman in baseball. I wouldn't be shocked if he played 40 games and we were back in this discussion about how good is Ketel Marte actually. You know, I'm rooting for him. He's a really likable player, but, you know, he's just volatile and he's not like a great enough defender at second outside of DRS to support, you know, the idea that he's like a top 10 player or top 15 player anymore.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I had him pretty high. I had him in the top. Obviously, 2019, I had a different way of evaluating players, right? I had him in the top 10. That was just how good his season was.
Yeah.
Looking back, like, I shouldn't have had him in the top 10. That was, I'll give Mark credit there. He was like kind of shitting on me for that a couple years
ago. On who? For having who in the top 10?
Ketel Marte.
In 2019.
Well, you were right.
No, I was talking about not just there. I'm talking about like in general, like as a general sense, Ketel Marte is a top 10 player.
Oh, player in the entire.
I'm mainly saying, right? No, I'm mainly saying like, his season was just so good. Like, people overreact to that, myself included. And can he hit that again? Like, yeah, he definitely can. Like, I wouldn't be too surprised, but I wouldn't really.
I'd be pretty surprised. One, from an availability standpoint, and two, from a 150 WRC plus standpoint.
He was.
So really, it's kind of interesting. We're talking about a player who not even 3 years ago would be considered like, this is a guy who can be, you know, an MVP candidate, you know, 7-1 player.
I definitely think he could be an MVP candidate, especially if he gets traded. I don't know. You could have a 10-win season on Arizona, you're not winning MVP. And it's not just because they're bad. It's also because it's Arizona.
But do you get what I'm getting at here? Like, he just randomly wasn't as good as he was before for no explicable reason. Or maybe that wasn't his true talent level. Hint, hint, Marcus Semien. It's just a little callback, you know, the conversation we just had.
Well,
but
Martin and Simeon are very similar in the sense that they both had great seasons in 2019 and 2021 and struggled in 2020.
Yeah, no, I think that there's, I think Simeon and Martin are the most talented in this group.
But I definitely think they're the two, I would say they're the two best players. The reason I have Marte so low is because he gets hurt all the time.
Yeah, that's basically it.
And so Lau and Altuve, and I know Marte, like 135 games over the last two seasons isn't terrible, but Lau and Altuve are playing every single day. So
yeah, the gap between
Lau's not because of the fucking Rays, but like, whatever. He played 150 games last year. So
Lau's another interesting one. Wait, go ahead.
Lau's just gonna be really good. I think Lau in general is really underrated. When I was doing the list with Xavier Scruggs, you know, I had him two, and I think it's where you put him as well. Lau is super underrated. So I agree.
Okay. I want to push back on one thing when it comes to Lau. So last year, if you look at his chase rate, like it was really high. It was 29.1%. In 2019, it was 29.4%. 2020 was an outlier, 23.6%. So over the last 3 years, and two of those last 3 years, and two of those being the last two full seasons we've seen of Brandon Lau, he has not shown great plate discipline ability. And I don't think that his plate discipline, I don't think he's walking 11.1% of the time. And this is like I put him below Altuve. Because I think that they're really the same hitter, and I think Altuve might be a little bit better offensively. Not better power-wise, but definitely better plate discipline-wise. And Altuve just, he has the right field, so, you know, he's probably going to produce more. But I don't like, okay, I think Brandon Lau is underrated to, like, the average baseball fan, but I think at this point...
We're giving away $50 million in
support. Did you play
nice one, Jack.
Oh, you can hear the commercial. Yeah, I was putting the Lakers in the back, out of the background.
Who would watch the Lakers like willingly? Anyways, oh, money. Yeah. Okay. What was I saying about Lau? Oh, chase rate. Yeah. Okay. How the fuck you pronounce it?
It's Lau.
Chases a lot. I don't think he's like underrated to the point by like most people who know what analytics are and have basic understanding of them. Like, I think a lot of people are overlooking a lot of those things. Yes, he's a Tampa Bay Ray. He's going to get overlooked by the average fan. Hits the ball hard. Sure. Great. I don't think he's going to walk more than like 8% of the time next year or 9% of the time next year. I'll give him that. And Altuve will be a little bit better because he's probably a better defender. They'll have some more WRC pluses. And yeah, but Lau is good.
Okay.
Yeah, I have one major question for you, Ryan, and Jack, I guess. Gleyber Torres at 9 seems a little bit high to me.
That's a steamer ranking for Ryan for sure, because he's like a 118 steamer projected WRC plus.
Which is insanely high.
Yeah, I don't. It's not at all.
He's a 118 WRC plus per se, but I think he's definitely going to be good enough to be in that top 10 now. Here's the thing, right? When he came back off of the injury list last season, he, I think, had a 130 WRC plus in September. And obviously, that's way too small of a sample size. We have to look at it this way. He started lifting the ball more. He started hitting the ball harder. He started striking out more. This is kind of the 2019 Gleyber Torres we saw. Now, if he goes back to that approach full time, I don't think he's a 130 WRC plus hitter. I mean, if he is, it'd be fucking great. But I don't think he is. I think we'll definitely see something closer to 2019 than we do 2020 and 2021. Just considering he really went with the DJ LeMay approach in these last 2 years. So
my argument's rather simple. Gleyber Torres' 2020 struggles are vastly overstated. When he first came in on 2020, start off slow, was completely normal after. You put his playoff and regular WRC plus and XWOBA together, he had a very good year. So wasn't concerned about him in 2020. 2021, that's the only bad season he's had in my eyes. And even then, he posted 331 expected WRC base average, which would have been, I think, around like a 105 to 110 WRC plus. If you look at like the WOBAs of Yankee players, I think 331 average around a 105. Because I think Luke Voit had one. and whatever Luke Voigt's WRC plus. I'm going to look at Luke Voigt just to be accurate. But my point is,
what's Gleyber Torres' hitting plus?
I don't know what that is. I don't. Hitting plus. Oh, okay. Two things. It was one. Okay, 332 WOBA was Luke Voigt's, and that was a 111 WRC plus. And then for hitting plus, now I remember. Now I know what you're referring to. I'm kind of stupid.
I'm kidding. I was kidding. No.
I know you were kidding. Yeah, I know you were kidding. I didn't process. I was like, when you mentioned hitting plus, like, I don't fucking remember that being on Fangraphs. And I was like, wait. Oh. But yeah, Gleyber Torres he barreled the ball a lot less in 2020 than in 2019, but he barreled the ball a lot more in the second half. I'm really not concerned about him offensively. It sucks that he was bad this year. I'm not concerned, and I'm not going to be concerned. And if he sucks next year, I'll die on the hill and I'll just say I was wrong. But I don't think there are 10 better second basemen than him. And quite honestly, Gleyber Torres is much more talented than 94 WRC plus hitter, and he has a better hit tool than most second basemen and decent enough power to work with. So, yeah.
Okay. Why didn't you have Jeff McNeil in your top 10, James?
What?
Why did you not have Jeff McNeil in your top 10?
Because he can't hit.
Okay. What makes you think he can't hit?
He can't hit. Like, he's a juice ball merchant.
What's your evidence for that?
He couldn't hit last year.
Well, he barreled the ball more last year and hit the ball harder last year than he did in 2020.
And they weren't hits. What matters is that he didn't get on base. He didn't slug. He didn't walk.
Fair.
And he played terrible defense, ran the bases like David Ortiz, and had 0.5 WAR in 120 games.
Okay. So I
also don't know if he's going to play every day next year. I don't think he will.
James, you want to make a bet?
Yeah, let's make a bet.
McNeil finishes in the top 10 among second baseman at F4.
I'm not making that bet because I don't trust defensive metrics.
It's not only that I wouldn't trust his defensive metrics, but I also wouldn't trust him to play enough games to do that because
I do. That's why I'm making
a bet. Escobar is going to be there. Cano's going to be there. Davis is there. Like,
and McNeil, Davis is not playing.
With Davis at third,
Cano Davis is not playing third.
They're starting Escobar at third.
Okay, fine. Escobar at third and Cano at second. Cano is better than McNeil.
No, he's not.
Probably.
No, he's not. What?
No, he's not.
Cano, okay.
Why didn't you rank Cano?
Cano's hard because he didn't play last year, but he had a 142 WRC plus in 2020. And like,
when he was on what? He was actually juiced. Like, it wasn't the ball. He was juiced. He was juiced.
Yeah. But, like, who says that Cano's not going to come back and do more fucking steroids? He's already done it once.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
He got busted for steroids, came back and did more steroids. You don't think he's going to do steroids
drug
again?
Testing, by the way, during the lockout?
During the lockout they're doing it, but Cano...
I saw a video clip of Trevor Bauer getting drug tested, so I wasn't sure.
No, he's a loser. I hate him, so sad.
I wonder if he's getting drug tested for other reasons. Because,
yeah, probably.
How could the owner? Yeah, they can't. There's no way they could actually.
They can't know. They already said they're not drug testing.
Oh, great. So,
Cano is also what we like to call an even year merchant. 2014, 137. 2015, 116.
The only person that applies to you, like, actually is Cody Bellinger. Everybody else doesn't apply to you.
It's an even year, 2022. So Robinson Cano is due for a 130 plus WRC plus next year.
Okay.
I think McNeil, he doesn't slug, and when someone doesn't slug isn't getting on base, it's like kind of gets ugly for him.
You'll see that Jack starts using some of these points if Jeff McNeil gets traded to the White Sox. Like, it's going to be hilarious to see Jack suddenly go, you know, he might be a juice ball merchant. And I think we have to consider the possibility that Jeff McNeil is not actually good.
I still don't think he's that good. I think he had a fluky season in 2019.
What about 2018, 2021? 2020, excuse me.
2018 was in 2020. He played 60 games a piece.
They don't count.
And
he played 60 games.
So if it's a fluke year, James, why does Steamer, which usually hates guys who have fluky years, like Tim Anderson, stuff like that, or fluky years, why
do they not hate Jeff McNeil? Jeff McNeil's BABIP was in the 340s for his first 3 years. As a slow second baseman who doesn't hit the ball hard.
Actually, so I'm going to now make a take.
You say he barreled the ball more. His best barrel season is 4%.
Yes.
He doesn't barrel baseballs.
I'm not saying he does. I said he barreled it more. Also, Giancarlo Stanton since 2019 has 333 BABIP.
That's because he hits the ball hard.
No, but he's going to regress because he sucks because he has a high BABIP. And he's slower than McNeil.
That doesn't matter. Sucks. He hits the ball hard.
But he's slower than McNeil.
If you hit the high BABIP. If you hit the ball hard, your BABIP's going to be higher because your ball's in play are
James, harder what to do you field. Think happens if you have a 24% line drive rate and have an extremely high opposite field ground ball rate? What do you think is going to end up?
Boom! You know the Matt Nagy video?
Boom!
You mean, I love that video. I actually don't, but I hope Matt Nagy gets fired. Anyways.
Chicago loves – oh, New York Giants love Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy. I can't even Joe Judge, to be honest with you. I'm not
– I feel like Joe Judge is worse than Matt Nagy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Joe Judge doesn't have that coach of the year in his trophy case.
Joe Judge is like the pinnacle of being a loser that I one day aspire to reach. Like, he's just so bad.
All right.
You could – I wish
– Moving on. I guess our other major differences is I had Jonathan India higher than everyone else.
Where'd you have him?
Sixth.
I had him seventh. That's fine.
I had Cronenworth a spot lower or whatever. I feel like we had like a pretty big consensus here.
Jorge Polanco is what I'm confused about. Why do you guys have Jorge Polanco so high?
No, it's not you guys. Me, Ryan,
oh, just Jack?
All had him at 8, and Jack had him at 5.
Yeah, Jack, why is he so high? Because he's not.
2020 was an outlier.
Okay, that's a good. That's. Yeah, I'm not saying 2020. I'm not saying 2020. I'm not saying 2020 is not an outlier. What I am saying though is he is a god awful defender at second base. Like god awful.
God awful? Is he really that god awful?
Yes. Really? The only metric he performs well in at second base is defensive runs saved. And I'm willing to bet the farm, and that was timeout.
3 DRS.
Why the hell did I call Jorge Lopez and not Jorge Polanco?
3 DRS.
But I would like to shout out, Jerry Reinsdorf on Twitter, Luke, because he put me onto this article and some data that UZR is actually potentially probably better for infielders than DRS is.
And he was not that bad.
No, he had a negative 10 UZR.
He was pretty bad, but he wasn't that bad. He was fine.
Defensive run saved exaggerates the you have to scale down defensive run saved because it is for what I read in that article. So again,
common knowledge. That's kind of relative to OA and UZR.
Yeah,
kind of common knowledge.
But
I don't really think Jorge Polanco is a good defender. I just don't think he's that bad.
Okay, and also on top of that. Do you think he's gonna just be a 120 WRC plus hitter again? Because I find that to be very unlikely.
I actually do.
Okay, because I don't necessarily believe that's happening because he had a 30% outside of zone swing rate this year, and somehow walked 7% of the time. I don't know how that happens. I know 7% isn't high, but I don't see that happening again. Quite honestly, I think his walk rate's going to drop a little bit, so his OBP is going to drop a little bit. His slugging percentage, he slugged 503. He's never slugged 503 in his career. He's not projected to slug 500. He won't slug 500 next year, so he'll have a WRC plus drop.
Balls again, which they might. Like, why wouldn't he?
Even when they had the balls juice, he slugged 45.
Yeah.
In his best year.
He's still at a 120 WRC plus. I don't really
I don't think it's happening. Just don't think
why?
It's happening.
Why don't you think so?
Well, one, I've decided. Okay, so I'm making up a lot of things, right? All these stats are true, but I'm just going to say Steamer, and that's it, because that's really my only good argument. Everything else is just me kind of making shit up. All the stats are true that I just listed, but Steamer. There we go.
That's why we need to stop the policy that I'm a Steamer merchant.
No, Ryan, I'm not even joking. Steamer is so much worse than Jack's, but let's move on, because I need to get out of here. We'll do top 10 second base. We'll go through the cumulative list. At number one, unanimously, we had Marcus Semien.
Sucks.
At number two, we have Brandon Lau.
Sucks.
At number three, we have Jose Altuve. At 4, Ketel Marte. 5, Jake Cronenworth. 6, Ozzie Albies. 7, Jonathan India. 8, Jorge Polanco. 9, Jeff McNeil. 10, we had a tie between Colton Wong and Gleyber Torres, but since I put Wong, I'm putting him 10th and Torres 11th. And then the only other person receiving votes was Gene Segura with one vote for me.
I should have put Nick Madrigal in the top 10 just to get him a vote. Honestly, that would have been funny.
He's not good. Like,
yes, he is. I like Nick Madrigal. He's good. He's going to be good.
He's the second best second baseman on his team.
What? He's definitely better than Nico Hoerner.
No, did he's not.
Yes, he is. He's better than Nico Hoerner. Everything. Everything. Also,
at so what? Nico Hoerner is a 15 outs above average defender per. Let's do something. Let's do per something. 150 games.
We are going to do some trolling just to mess with.
Them. Okay.
Do you have any questions from to answer?
I'm leaving.
We have
just outro.
We have other things. We're gonna do three players here. I'm going to tell you a player, and you have to tell me if they're overrated or underrated or properly rated.
Okay, fine. I have to go. Okay.
I know. That's why we're doing it.
Nick Madrigal led
player number one, Xander Bogaerts.
I'd say he's underrated right now, depending on who you talk to. Yeah, overrated. It's one or two. It's one or two. It's depending on who you talk to.
I have Xander Bogaerts as underrated. I would.
It's depending who you talk to.
Oh, by the way, you want to look at this Nico Hoerner had 9 outs above average at second base in
Nick Madrigal.
We do not care.
Nick Madrigal has the same WRC plus since 2020 as Joey Gallo, Mitch Garver, Austin Nola, G-Man Choi, and Chris Bryant. A better WRC plus than JT Realmuto and Jorge Polanco and Harrison Bader since 2020. Give it to me. Nick Madrigal is that guy.
Let's Nico go. Nico Hoerner is legitimately injury prone though, which actually
Brian sucks. Brian Reynolds, overrated, underrated, or just right?
Overrated. Overrated. He's not that good. Harrison Bader is just as good. Next,
and then Jose Barrios.
Slightly
underrated.
Slightly underrated.
I just said under for all three of them, but Brian Reynolds, I feel like people overrate him.
He sucks.
Okay, in 251 innings last year, Nico Hoerner had 9 outs.
Has he ever tied with Joey Gallo in WRC plus over a 2-year stretch?
No, because
he sucks. Because he sucks.
He had a 104 WRC plus last year. We call that a step in the right direction.
But Nick Madrigal will stay in WRC. I'm going to tweet this. I'm tweeting this. This is good. I'm going to get free likes. I like free likes.
All right. I'm a clout merchant. Outro the podcast.
Yes.
Dude. That'll do it for this episode of the Deep Drive in the Left Field podcast. If you like what you saw, please leave us a 5-star rating. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Deep Drive Pod. Make sure to follow James on Twitter, James Valentinez. Make sure to follow Ryan on Twitter, Ryan Garcia ASM. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at LB Nerds. It's been a Deep Drive Left Field by Castellanos. We will see you in episode number 50.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.